Okay, so this evening we're going to deal with the Yom Kippur sugya, and one of the very practical sugyot that comes up, certainly in terms of practical rabbanut, that's every year there are questions that I get about it, and that's the status of pregnant and nursing women. That's on Yom Kippur. Do they have to fast? Don't they have to fast? Under what circumstances do they have to fast, etc.? So I have to say, it's every year, just before Tisha B'Av and just before Yom Kippur, I find out about various people in my community who are expecting, that they haven't yet told their parents, that we don't want anybody to know yet, but they want to ask a shayla about what they should do about fasting, etc. So it's sort of a certain privilege that one has, being privy to this information. And we have to have a proper understanding of what's going on here. There is, in general, of course, dinim about chole on Yom Kippur, chole she'esh bo sakana, chole she'ein bo sakana. That's and this fits in to some degree with that sugya, but it's a din in its own right. So we're going to start with a mishnah on pei bet amud aleph. All the practical dinim of Yom Kippur in the eighth parak of Masechet Yoma. First seven prakim deal with the seder ha'avodah, and the eighth parak deals with the halachot of the practical halachot of Yom Kippur. So let's look on page one at the Mishnah there on Pei Bet Amud Aleph, which tells us Ubarash Hericha. If you have a pregnant woman who gets a whiff of food on Yom Kippur, and she then becomes like absolutely desperate to have this food, that so she has a sudden craving for it, and is salivating and feeling faint and everything, and she's so desperate for it that that if she doesn't get this food, we're concerned that she'll become dangerously ill, that the fetus will be in danger of being miscarried or being harmed. And therefore, machilinota ashetashiv nafsha. Therefore, we allow her to eat, or we feed her until she recovers, until she says that I'm all right. Chole machilinota pibekiin. That's a chole, an ill person. We assess him with experts to see if he needs to eat or not. We mean shambekiin. If there aren't experts, then machilinota piatsmuachi or mardai. So then we, follow his guidance. The person knows whether they need to eat or not until they say, I don't need to eat any longer. That's a sugi for another time. In any event, what we see from this Mishnah is that under normative circumstances, a mu'uberet, a pregnant woman, doesn't eat on Yom Kippur. This is telling us that in exceptional circumstances, she eats on Yom Kippur. And then the Gemara goes into discussing that the circumstances under which she can eat. Let's look at the Braita, Tanu Rabbanan, Ubarashe Richa, Besar Kodesh, or Besar Chazir. So she gets a whiff of something which she's not allowed to eat. This isn't necessarily talking about on Yom Kippur at all. Generally she's kodshim. There's she smells the basar on the mizbeach that's burning and she wants to eat it, or she walks past McDonald's and smells the pork and she wants to eat it. Tochavin la kush barotev. So instead of serving it up to her on a plate, we just take a tiny a stick, that's a toothpick, and we dip it into the gravy. Menichin la piha, and we just put that into her mouth. So she just gets the tiniest taste of it. Imnit yashva data mutav. If she calms down as a result of that, then great. Vimlav machinin otar rotev atzma. So if not, so then we let her eat the gravy itself. Vimnit yashva data mutav. And if she calms down, then that's great. Vimlav, if not, machinin otar shuman atzma. That's then we let her eat the fat and the meat itself. There's nothing which stands in the way of pikuach nefesh, except for the three cardinal sins. So in any event, what we're seeing here very clearly, that is that you know, the notion of a Mu'beret who gets, you know, this sudden strong craving, that's regarded as a case of pikuach nefesh. We're not just talking about a stam case where a pregnant woman, you know, has a craving for a custard and carrots or something like that, or whatever it is that pregnant women have their strange cravings for. But it's something which, you know, is overtaking taking her body in an extremely powerful way. But otherwise, she doesn't eat or drink on Yom Kippur. And if you turn over, we've got a Gemara in Masechet Pesachim at the end of the towards the end of the fourth perek. That's Nundal Adamad Bet, which tells us this very clearly. Darash Rava, halfway down the page. Ubarot Umanikot, pregnant women and nursing women. Mitanot Umashlimot Bo, they have to fast and complete the fast on Tisha B'Av. Kderach She Mitanot Umashlimot B'Yom HaKippurim. That's just as they do so on Yom Kippur. Meaning that even though we've got a notion of Pikuach Nefesh supersedes Yom Kippur, and we've even got a principle of Safek Pikuach Nefesh supersedes Yom Kippur, that this isn't a case of a Safek. That's, and this is, you know, absolutely true, that a woman, a normal woman who's nursing or is pregnant without any complicating factors, that should be fine, that's fasting on Yom Kippur. That's, we'll talk in a little bit about complicating factors, but essentially, as a starting point, that we can assume that, you know, if it's a normal pregnancy, there haven't been any problems, women should be able to fast without any problem on Yom Kippur. Always, you know, the first year I have, you know, woman phoned me up, that's, you know, she's concerned about fasting on Yom Kippur, she's pregnant. First question I said, you know, that's, you know, have there been any complications so far with the pregnancy? And invariably, you know, she'll say no, because most women don't have complications. So then my advice is, and we'll talk, you know, if she's in the eighth or ninth month in a moment, but, you know, till she's, you know, in the, you know, eighth or ninth month, that, you know, everything's going absolutely normally, then in actual fact she's pregnant, that's fasting on Yom Kippur shouldn't do her any harm whatsoever. That's advice is three things. Number one, hydrate really well on Erev Yom Kippur. That's I have, you know, plenty to drink. Number two is to try and eat before the fast complex carbohydrates, things like brown rice, whole grains, things like that, because they release energy slowly. And number three, that, you know, if she's all worried about, you know, fasting, then, you know, stay at home and rest. That's, you know, I said to a woman 2-3 years ago, whatever, was very concerned. I said, everything was normal, everything was absolutely fine. I said, you know what, you stay at home, you sit on the couch all day Yom Kippur, it's safer for you than walking to shul and crossing the road. That's, and you'll probably feel better afterwards than you've felt in years. That's on Yom Kippur. That's in terms of, you know, if everything's normal and you're well hydrated and you're not using any energy, so, you know, to sit on the couch the whole day, you use hardly any energy. That's, you know, nothing can normally be expected, you know, to go wrong there. That's, so that's the normative advice that we would, you know, that we would give. That's, and, you know, women do tend to be concerned about it. And Rabbonim should also be concerned about it. You know, we don't treat women's pregnancies lightly. But, you know, experience has shown that, you know, if everything's going normally, then this shouldn't be a problem, you know, shouldn't be a problem whatsoever. The advice is, of course, if she starts feeling that, you know, that she's getting contractions or something like that, you know, so then she wants to hydrate. That's, but, you know, it's you wouldn't normally expect that to be the case. The points of concern are in the eighth month and in the ninth month. And the eighth month is of more concern than in the ninth month. So sometimes with women in the eighth month, that's where they are concerned, and perhaps they've already started having, you know, Branston Hicks, and they're, you know, there's a possibility, you know, of dehydration and that sort of, you know, concern of dehydration. So then in the 8th month, we might advise a woman to drink in shiurim. That's to drink small quantities of water. That's over the course of the day or over the course of the morning. Shiurim, we usually say it's less than melolugma, so less than a cheekful. So the Poskim say melolugma for an average person is about half of a revir. So 40 cc. You take one of the small shot glasses that they use as a kiddush, something like that. Fill it up and drink that every 9 minutes. Get a liter. 2 liters in, into her, over the course of the morning, and then should be absolutely, absolutely fine. That's in the 9th month, we're actually a little bit less worried. Once you hit the 37th week, that's more or less regarded as full term. The concern is that if a woman, a pregnant woman's fasting and she gets dehydrated, that's likely to, or that could very possibly bring on birth. That's contractions. That's, and for a baby to be born, 6 weeks early is not terribly good. Nowadays, usually fine, but it's not an ideal. Tisha yarche leida, so you don't want it. That's 7.5 months. That's if a baby's born 3 weeks early, that's essentially full term, and it's not so fine. She goes into labour a bit early. It's not it's not a big problem. That's again, we'll say if she starts going into labour, so then she wants to hydrate. That's a woman doesn't want to go into labour that's dehydrated, but it's not the worst thing in the world if that she does go into labour. Again, if she rests and takes it easy, that's she should be fine. That's with regard to drinking with shiurim. That's an advice that we give, is that that's woman may as well, no reason just to drink water. May as well drink milk or fruit juice, something like that, something which has got a bit of nutrients as well, in terms of it's a dinner of a liquid. So it makes no difference, whether she's drinking water or something else, grape juice, which has got sugar in, whatever it is, but something to give her a bit of, strength as well. That's if she is going to be, drinking bishurim. That's not going to be our starting point. Our starting point is that, she shouldn't be drinking on Yom Kippur, unless, there's medical indication that there's concerns. So she's got high blood pressure issues, or things like that. Diabetes is a whole nother question. That's generally speaking, diabetics have to be assessed. That's in terms of fasting and that sort of thing. So that's, but if she's pregnant and diabetic, we would be concerned, and we want to guide her appropriately, probably to eat in shiurim. That's a couple of comments about shiurim. One is, as I've said, that if she's drinking, she may as well drink something that's nutritious. The other thing is that there's shiurim in terms of food, and also in terms of liquids. So food, from my experience, apart from diabetics, it's very rare that a person is going to need to eat food. If they eat food, they're getting, that's giving them calories and nutrients. But they're also going to need to drink. In terms of the biggest concern with an ill person is dehydration, and sometimes lack of calories, but you can get all of that from drinking rather than from actually eating. So in most cases it's not going to be necessary to eat. You may as well just drink. If you eat as well, then you're doing twice as many problematic things. Also with a person who's got a controlled illness, I would say, then the notion of shiurim isn't really, eating Yeshurim is usually sufficient. So, you know, if you've got a person who is, a pregnant woman, but, you know, it's in the eighth month and we're concerned about dehydration, so there's no need for her not to drink in Shurim, because that starts drinking in the morning, and fine, it'll take her 3-4 hours to, you know, to drink 2 liters of liquid. But so what? You know, what's the hurry? It doesn't need to get you all down there in one go. The time when you really need to be thinking not about Shurim will be a yoledet, a woman who's just given birth, and we'll talk about that further on in the shir. And the other case is that, you know, if a person suddenly becomes ill, right, or a woman who, you know, unexpectedly goes into labour on Yom Kippur, so she needs to hydrate immediately. She goes, oh, well, you know, I'll drink, you know, 2 litres over the course of the next 2 hours. You know, it's Yom Kippur afternoon. She hasn't drunk for, you know, 20 hours already. She needs to get the liquid inside her. So, you know, don't drink in Shurim in those situations. But otherwise, you know, it should be fine to drink in Shurim. Another consideration is, you know, again, if a pregnant woman, you know, has opportunity to rest, that's... you know, that'll make it much easier for her, because she's not burning, you know, the amount of energy that she's burning is minimal. So some years ago, I was with a Moreh Horah before Yom Kippur. That's when people were coming to ask her various shilas about fasting. Somebody came in, his wife was pregnant, and they had a couple of little ones as well. So that makes it, you know, harder, because, you know, it's all about, you can, a woman who's expecting her first child, you can say, okay, well, sit on the couch all day. But a woman who's expecting her fourth child and has got 3 kids under 5, you know, running around, she can understand, okay, I'm sitting on the couch and, you know, look after yourselves. So the Rav told the husband had come to ask the Shaila on his wife's behalf. The Rav said to him, listen, you know, you need to spend, you know, the day at home looking after the kids. The husband said, yeah, I was planning on that. I was going to go to Shul for Shachrit. At the end of Shachrit, I was going to come home for a bit, you know, and check everything was all right. And then, you know, I'd also, you know, Mincha time, I'd come back and check everything's all right. And the Rav said, no, I don't think you quite understand what I said. You're not going to shul this year on Yom Kippur. You're staying at home and looking after the children. That's, and that is, you know, relevant consideration in terms of, you know, again, you know, every year, you know, this question comes up. Somebody says that, you know, I'm expecting my fourth kid, and, you know, that's, but who's going, I haven't got anybody to look after the kids. I say, you've got your husband. He needs to be in shul. I say, it's more important that you're fasting than he's in shul. And if the only way that you can fast is with him not being in shul, then he won't be in shul. That's, you know, and that's the, you know, that's the halacha. Oren, and then Dean.
I'm just, the logic of the Gemara in allowing pregnant women to eat, to drink, to or to eat, really, is because of their Mishim Sakana.
Yeah.
That's the logic,
yeah,
right? But the real danger here is not really one. It's not really a life threatening one. It's more. It's a great care, right? You desperately don't want anything wrong to go to, wrong to happen. But it's not a life threatening.
The consideration is twofold. Number one, there's a consideration that the woman herself could find herself in a life threatening situation. But you've correctly picked up on the fact that even sakanat ubar is regarded as pikuach nefesh. So even though, you know, where there's a chashash, you know, that the fetus will be endangered, even though the fetus doesn't yet have the status of a living person, nevertheless, that's, you know, she's allowed to break her fast. In terms of we're concerned, I think what you're saying is that, you know, what does it matter? You know, it's a terrible thing, you know, if a woman miscarries, but, you know, it's not life-threatening to her, but it is to the fetus. That's the point. That's it's pikuach nefesh for the fetus.
For the fetus.
Yes. That's, right. And that really is, you know, sakana.
And by the way, that is that then true, then, that if people fast, that increases the likelihood of a miscarriage? Is that is
no, this, no, no. Normally, it shouldn't.
I don't know.
No, what we're saying is that it could be no, because the halacha is that it doesn't. In terms, we're saying generally speaking, ubarot umenikot mitanot umashlimot, because it doesn't increase the chances of a miscarriage. The only consideration is that if the woman becomes dehydrated, that she, you know, that there it could be, you know, that could bring on labour. Right, which would be essentially a miscarriage, you know, depending on what stage, the pregnancy she is. Right, but if everything's normal, then the fetus will, be surviving off. You know, she's got reserves of fat and liquid in her body, and that's what the fetus will survive. So this is exactly the point of the Gemara, that normally speaking, there is no danger. That's right. Normative cases, there is no danger neither to the mother nor to the fetus. It's only in cases where we've got a concern that there's something different that we would change it in. But in normative circumstances, there is nothing to be worried about. And I have to say, I've given advice, and I know dozens and dozens of people that fasted quite happily on Yom Kippur. Without any problem. They've often been worried beforehand. So it's one of these things. If a pregnant woman goes to the doctor, to a non-Jewish doctor, and says, "So it's Yom Kippur next week. Do you think I should fast?" So obviously the doctor's going to say no. Because it sounds a silly thing to do. But in actual fact,
that means there's a danger then.
No, it doesn't. Yeah, it doesn't. In terms of it's just like it's. Firstly, I think that you haven't pushed the doctor in terms of, should I fast? No, why? Because, you're going to be weaker. It's going to be harder for you. And, it's like a silly thing to do. But in actual fact, if you got the doctor to sit down and assess, what's the chances of actually anything going wrong? That's the answer would be, hardly anything. Chazal are very concerned about pikuach nefesh. Not only Chazal, because you can sometimes say, nishtanu hatvayim, what was healthy in times of Chazal isn't healthy any longer. But, contemporary poskim don't say that. And, my wife, fasted multiple times, when she was, pregnant. Okay, it's only a sample of one woman, but I know many women who've fasted on.
Experiment now,
It's the point is that it's all that, provided that everything's going normally, she'll be fine. Dean.
So just clarify, so the shiur of drinking is 40 cc.
Well, it's malulugmaf, which is a cheekful, and so it'll depend on each person. But the poskim say a cheekful is, for the average person, is a bit less than a half of a revit.
And that's the shiur, because that's supposed to be the right to drinking.
Right. So what we say is, that you'll be chayav if you drink a malulugmaf, if you drink a cheekful of liquid. You'll be chayv.
What have you done?
You've broken the fast.
Okay.
Right? So chatzi shir, that's you're not chayv for. There's a discussion in the Gemara whether chatzi shir asur min ha-Torah or not. So the maisa we paskin that chatzi shir is asur min ha-Torah. But, we saw this with Hilchot Shabbat as well, certain things, you can't lechatchila do it, but, when you're pressed, chatzi shir, whether it's d'oraita or d'rabbanan, doesn't really, bother us so much. But even if it's asur min d'oraita, you're not liable for it. So therefore, we would prefer, where possible, that even if it's asur min d'oraita, we'd prefer a person to break Yom Kippur, that's in a way that's not going to make them liable, than in a way that's going to make them liable.
So just one of the further questions, so why is chetzi shir of liquid better than eating?
Well, because if you eat, you're going to have liquid as well. So then you're having two chetzi shirs. That's every time you eat, every chetzi shir that you eat is another chetzi shir that you've eaten, right? That you've consumed. We don't just say, okay, as long as you drink less than a shir, so you can spend the whole of Yom Kippur doing that. We don't say that. We say if a woman needs to drink, you know, 2 litres, she mustn't drink 3 litres, even though she's drinking it in Shurim. Right? So if a woman needs to get, you know, X number of calories into her, right, that she's also going to need to get the liquid into her. So it doesn't help to tell her that, okay, eat, you know, a bar of chocolate and drink 2 litres. She's going to have to drink 2 litres anyhow. So you may as well do it that she'll drink 2 litres in a way that she'll get the calories from the drinking.
Okay. Is it in the
Shurim
that there's this time gap?
Yeah, there needs to be a time gap. We say of 9 minutes. Because that is, that's Kedai Achilat Pras. That's
if we said that the Chatzi Shiur we say that we're Mekel on Yom Kippur,
right,
then I can just drink one after another.
No, because they join together to make a whole shiur. So again, there's lots of, you know, there's a machloket, you know, in the Shulchan Aruch as to whether or not the shiur for drinking is kedei achilat pras or kedei shtiat revi'it. That's, but certainly the chatchila will say it's kedei achilat pras. But again, we've got a way of sort of, you know, a hierarchy. So, you know, so the chatchila every 9 minutes. Right? If it's, you know, that's what, you know, kedei achilat pras is. But if necessary, we'll say kedei achilat pras is 4 minutes. And if necessary, we'll say kedei achilat pras is 2 minutes. And if necessary, we'll say, you know, kedei shtiat revi'it, it's a minute. So, you know, she can drink, you know, shot glass every minute. Again, it'll depend on the circumstances. I'm saying in a managed case, right? So that's where a woman comes to you, you know, before Yom Kippur, that she's in the 8th month. There is a bit of concern that, you know, she's gone, you know, perhaps her previous 2 children, she, you know, had 3 weeks early or something like that. That, or that, you know, she's got certain, you know, conditions which, you know, wouldn't normally concern us, but in the 8th month with our fasting, you know, we don't want her to go into labour early. So then that's a managed situation, and you tell her to, you know, to drink the shiurim, but she can spread that out over the course of 4 or 5 hours. You know, there's no need that she needs to hydrate herself with 2 litres of water first thing in the morning. Oh, fine. If over the course of the morning she hydrates herself with 2 litres of water, then that's absolutely absolutely fine. Yeah. So that's the Ubarot. Let's look in the Shulchan Aruch. So Tafrei Shud Zayin, if Aleph tells us quite straightforwardly, Ubarotim nikot mitanot umashlimot biyom HaKippurim. Look in the Biur Halacha, that's Ubarotim nikot mitanot umashlimot. Very important. So we dealt with the Mu'uberet, the pregnant woman. Now I want to talk about the Manika, nursing mother. So and again, you know, under normal circumstances, a nursing mother should be able to fast on Yom Kippur without, I won't say without any difficulty, it'll be hard for her, but without any sakana, without any concern of sakana. That's, she's going to be tired because a nursing woman uses a lot of, you know, a lot of calories in producing the milk. That's, you're studying medicine, right?
No.
Nope, that's your son's studying medicine. He's not here. Yeah, that's not. Okay, so I forget how many, you know, extra calories a nursing mother needs to have. But a nursing mother needs to have a lot of extra calories to produce the milk and a lot of liquid as well. So she's not getting any of that on Yom Kippur. It's going to be difficult for her. But again, under normal circumstances, you know, the baby's 3 months old, you know, she's not in any danger whatsoever. You know, she should be fine. There's a problem, though, that the Mishnah Berurah is flagging up here in the Biur Halacha. V'im yesh la manika yeled chole mesukan, v'eino rotze linek ki mimena. So she's got an ill child that will only nurse from her. That's, now, if she fasts, one thing that's inevitably going to happen is a nursing woman's milk supply is going to go down. Right? She's not going to have as much milk that's, you know, in the afternoon of Yom Kippur or the next day because she hasn't, you know, had the calories and she hasn't had the liquid. So, therefore, if you've got a concern about the child not getting enough, you know, the baby not getting enough to drink, Eina mitana afilu biyom kippur. So she doesn't fast. right? Because even though we say Manika, that's has to fast, if it's going to cause, put the child in a position of sakana, so then she doesn't need to know, so she doesn't need to fast. Again, she needs to drink, again, lichora in shiurim. Now, there are a number of considerations here. We have that on page 5, we've got a chazanish. As we won't look at the chazanish inside, but the chazanish says that, just in the third, we'll look at just one line there, in Sif Katan Gimel on the left-hand side, of the third line, where the chazanish says, the chisaron chalav sakanahu lo sheyavoli decholi. Right? Now, if the child doesn't get, the baby doesn't get enough milk, enough mother's milk, so then that's a sakana to the child. Why? Because the child can come lidei choli, and therefore she's allowed to drink. That's this moment. However, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank in Har Tzvi, he's cholek on the Chazon Ish. And Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank is medayik in the lashon of the Mishnah Brura, where the Mishnah Brura said, "V'im yahayish lamanika yelet chole umesukan." Right, the baby's already ill, and we're worried that she's not going to, that her milk's going to dry up. So then she can drink. So we've got essentially a machloket between the Chazon Ish and Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank with regards to a healthy baby. But where we've got a bit of a concern that Efsha maybe that the milk will dry up and then the baby will be in a situation of sakana. Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank holds that the baby's not in any sakana at the moment. If the milk dries up, so then the baby will be in sakana and then she should drink. That's whereas the Chazon Ish holds no. That's, every baby is essentially, in a position of sakana if their milk dries up. It doesn't need to be chole umasukan. Just a regular baby. If there's a concern that the milk will dry up, so then she can break the fast. So it's certainly true that a woman who's nursing the next day is going to have less milk, and possibly even Yom Kippur afternoon. Now she'll feel her milk supply's gone down. Now let's discuss a number of scenarios. So scenario number one is, that she feels, the afternoon of Yom Kippur, she knows the Motzah, she's done this, several years. She knows the Motzah Yom Kippur, she's going to have much less milk, and the baby's going to be crying a bit for milk. So advice number one is that she should try and give a couple of extra feeds, on the day after Yom Kippur. Basically, the more you nurse the baby, the more milk the body will produce. So if you give a couple of extra feeds, so that'll make the that'll build up the milk supply. It'll readjust the body quite quickly. That's number one. Number two, what does she do if she feels that she feels Yom Kippur afternoon that she's trying to nurse the baby? And there's not really, the baby's not getting anything because there's nothing there. Her milk supply is, pretty dried up and the baby's, sucked a few times, got all there is. So then she should definitely drink. Okay, the question will be whether she should drink Bashiorim or whether she should, drink not Bashiorim. It'll depend on, each individual case, what point of the day it is. I would have thought that if she, the baby's not crying out, and again, it depends on the, how old the baby is, etc., etc. L'chatchila, one would try that she should drink in shiurim. Again, drinks 2 liters over the course of a couple of hours, that will help. Could be that she needs to, hydrate properly. The other case can be, again, can sometimes be a managed situation where you've got, the mother knows that perhaps the baby nurses a lot, right? Maybe the baby nurses 5 or 6 times a day and that she doesn't produce enormous amounts of milk. Perhaps she's a small milk producer. That's the build of her body without, going into too many details. You know, she's a small milk producer, and therefore she knows that, you know, well, she's got twins. She's got twins, right? That's and they need to nurse. So then, you know, we might say that, you know, lachatchila, she should, you know, be drinking in shiurim. Now, a question that comes up, interesting question comes up, that's what if you could give the baby a bottle? All right, fine. So milk supply dries up. You can give the baby a bottle. Well, what's the big deal? So look in Halichot Shlomo. That's on page 8. Rav Shlomo Zalman. That's me neket im yish chashashit meita chalav al yidei hatanit, or she mangeshit batz mashu mitchaseh. So she feels, you know, there's not much milk there. Yeah, it's one of these things that's difficult for us as men to know exactly what he's referring to. I guess it was difficult for him as a man to know exactly what he was referring to. That's, but, you know, apparently women, you know, they know if they've got their milks, they haven't got much milk or not. I don't know whether they can feel it or they just know when the baby's, you know, nursing. I remember, you know, when my wife nursed on Yom Kippur, that, you know, at the end of the day saying, you know, that there wasn't any milk left for the baby. So I don't know if she could just tell that the baby was sucking and not getting anything, or she could feel that there was no milk in there sloshing around, as it were. Tishte pachot pachot mikshir. So Rav Shlomo Zalman said, no, she should drink less than a shiur. And the important thing is, don't start thinking about, oh, well, we can give the baby formula. That's also, you know, this is a bit of a chiddush. But again, shows a great sensitivity. Now, sometimes you might say, okay, why should she break Yom Kippur? The baby's not going to die. You can give the baby formula. No, because if this is what the baby is used to, is having mother's milk. So then, you know, don't change it. Look in the footnotes. That's in the footnotes at 11, he says, V'ima kvar avru chodashim rabim miyom haleida. If the baby's several months old, chodashim rabim, you know, 6, 7, 8 months old, lifamim ein lahakel kulehai, yaseh she'elat chacham. Then it's not so clear. Meaning, you know, sometimes women, you know, nurse till the child is, you know, it's 2 years old. You know, in olden times, it was more than that. But, you know, nowadays, you know, women can nurse the baby till they're, you know, till the child's 2 years old, right? So a two-year-old is eating and drinking plenty of other things, but, you know, maybe they nurse once or twice a day, right? So in that case, you know what? It's not so terrible. That's if the milk dries up, you know, a bit, you know, that doesn't matter. You know, the baby won't suffer, you know, from not getting mother's milk for, 24 hours. Then you wouldn't need to worry. But where it's certainly a baby that's only nursing from the mother, so then that's, you know, so then you don't start even considering, you know, formula. That you shouldn't consider. That's okay. Yeah. Milk substitutes.
Couldn't the woman pump out previous, before Yom Kippur, some of their own breast milk and then leave that in containers?
Yeah. Firstly, nobody suggests that that's necessary. Number two, you're still going to have problems. It's not really going to solve it. But you're still going to have the problem come, what, say, Yom Kippur, that, okay, so she's, you know, prepared some more from beforehand. I mean, also some babies, you know, don't like taking bottles, you know, won't take bottles. You know, it's difficult for them to take. But I suppose that if she regularly gives the baby a bottle, then that might be, that might be kedai to do. But, you know, otherwise doesn't seem, you know, the poskim don't seem to demand that.
So can you repeat the machloket of the...
So the Chazanish says doesn't need the child needs to be ill now. All children, all babies, you know.
Fitting with the brother in the Gemara. The Gemara says that Menikot and Ubrot.
That's right. But they're discussing in a case where there is a concern that the milk will dry up.
And the Chazanish.
That's also, they're both discussing a case where the milk will dry up. What we're saying is that You know, under normal circumstances, you know, you've got, you can have a mini car, right? Well, what's the classic case of, what's the classic concern with a mini car? Why should a mini car be able to break her fast? What's the havamina? The havamina is because it's difficult for her to fast. Mm-hmm. It's difficult for her to fast. So maybe she's got the din of a cholera, might have thought, right? It's definitely difficult for a nursing woman, right, with a two-month-old baby to fast on Yom Kippur. Right? It's hard for her. Forget the baby. It's hard for her. So we're saying, tough. That's, hopefully we'll say that to her. If she comes and asks you a shyly, you'll say it in a more gentle way. That if you just go to her, tough, that won't endear you to anybody. But, you know, it's hard, but fine. She has to fast. Right? Then we're now going to introduce some other considerations as well. Right? The other considerations are that in a case where the baby is at risk from her fasting, so then does what the Gemara said still apply, right? And the Bi'ur Halacha is telling us it doesn't still apply because that's a non-normative situation, right? And then we've got a machloket between the Chazon Ish and Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank as to really what that Bi'ur Halacha means, right? Does it mean that the child is already is an ill child, and therefore, if the child's not an ill child, so fine, the milk dries up, it'll be all right. All right? That's what.
The Chazon Ish agree with that as well.
Agree with what?
That if a child's not ill and it's okay, then it doesn't need to be.
No, the Chazon Ish says, if the baby's is fine, but if there's a concern that her milk's going to dry up or that her milk's drying up, so then she can drink. Whereas Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank says, no, it's only if the baby's ill. The baby's all right, so I don't know, give the baby a bottle of water. So the machloket, Yom Kippur afternoon, right? She tries to nurse the baby during Mafti Yona, right? Yeah. And there's no milk for the baby, right? Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank says, the baby's all right, you know, give the baby a bottle. That's nothing to worry about. It's only if the baby's ill, and therefore it's really important that it gets mother's milk, so then she can drink. Whereas the Chazon Ish says, no, if the mother's milk is drying up, that is a sakana for the child.
If there isn't other milk to give him. Okay, she is always feeding him, that's her milk.
Well, Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank would say, you know, give the baby water. If the baby won't take water, if the baby won't take water, so then I guess, you know, even Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank would agree, because then the baby's going to become ill, you know, the baby's ill. But in terms of the question there is what degree of illness, you know, is required.
Yeah, and Lichoshon would say that even if the baby's not ill.
Yeah, it's saying like the Chazon Ish. Yeah. But he's adding in something, right? He's adding. I don't know if the Chazon Ish would disagree with it necessarily, but Rav Shlomo Zalman said it's mefurash, right? That, you know, where there's an option, just because there's an option of formula, presumably some people were suggesting, I think I saw a note in one of the Sfarim, that some possibly said, yeah, give the baby formula. Why should the mother break her fast when you can give the baby formula? Someone says, no, don't give the baby formula. Yeah. Don't start messing around with that. Yeah. Let's look at a tshuva of Rav Moshe Sternbach. That's because it's an important tshuva which deals with this.
Page 7.
So, Chiyuv Mu Berep Psom Yom HaKippurim. Berep Yom HaKippurim. Okay, so he's been asked the Shaila. That's about a woman who's, you know, just come from, she's come to Eretz Yisrael from Europe, day before Yom Kippur, whatever, she's weary from the journey, she's nursing, that's, she's a muberet, so she's pregnant, that's, somebody said to her, oh, okay, you know, because you're exhausted from the journey, you know, you can drink in shiurim, whatever. And he says, I don't think that's true at all. Now, Shoresh Hadavar. So he's getting down to the nuts and bolts of what it's all about. Shoresh HaDavar, k'sheish sibah tibikuach nefesh, shefaneinu machala, az anu mekilin. That's, aval kan harofei lo matzah b'ashum chisaron. If a person is ill, then we're mekel. But here, you know, there's actually nothing wrong with her. Yes, she travelled for 15 hours on a plane, but yeah, so what? Rat mekabel dvara shanasiyami yagato tavi chalashamu beretz vichala listakein hi ubara. That's the doctor, you know, she goes to the doctor, says to the doctor, listen, I'm exhausted from travelling, I'm worried. He's going to say, yeah, better not to fast. The fact that she's weary, that doesn't really indicate there's a pikuach nefesh concern. Well, she's going to find it hard to fast. But finding it hard to fast is different to being a concern of pikuach nefesh. Lachen yeshra lahatim echachshas pikuach nefesh ein la yasod. Now, it's very interesting. Rav Moshe Sternbach here is bringing a famous case, Maisi Shahaya, in Vilna, in the 1860s, I think, 1840s, 1860s, that's Barashut, in Vilna, Barashut HaGon Rabbi Bezalel Zatzal, Shetanagdu Bishnat Taf Reish Kaf Aleph, so Taf Reish Kaf Aleph, yeah, the 1860s, Lifsak HaGaon Vitzadik Rabbi Yisrael Salanta Zatzal. So in that, the 1860s in Vilna, there was a cholera epidemic, right? So half the city was ill with cholera and were dying, right? And everybody else wanted to make sure they didn't get cholera. That Rabbi Yisrael Salanta hitilachol b'nei ha'il echol shemahim menugaim rachman etzlan b'machalash it pashtav yish pikuach nefesh. He said that everybody in the town should break their fast on Yom Kippur, right? Because they needed to be strong to make sure they didn't become ill. They didn't contract cholera. V'tanatam shahetid b'kuach nefesh umaruvach. That's rak b'tnai shasi balufaneinu b'chol echad v'zeh chaser v'lachein lo hiskimu lifsako. That's whereas the based in of Vilna disagreed with him. They said, no, you can't break a fast just for preventative pikuach nefesh. Rav Yisrael Salanta said, "Now I'm worried that people will contract cholera if they don't. You know, currently, they're absolutely fine, right? But I'm worried if they fast, they will become ill. That's whereas not directly as a result of fasting. Remember, that's different. You know, if a person will become ill as a result of a person is weak, and if they fast, they might die." Then obviously that's pikuach nefesh. Here we're saying that as a result of fasting, that will weaken them so that then they will be susceptible to something else which could cause them to die. Rav Yisrael Salanta said that was a concern of pikuach nefesh, they should break their fast. And the Beis Din of Vilna said that they shouldn't break their fast. So in terms of it's how immediate does the concern of pikuach nefesh need to be? Rabbi Yisrael Salanta held that it didn't need to be immediate, whereas that's the Beis Din of Vilna held that it did need to be immediate.
So that's the same as the case with the husband who was best supposed to stay home with the kid, with the children, because it's not immediate, it's just an indirect possibility.
Well, that's it. I mean, there we found a simple solution. Nobody's breaking Yom Kippur in that case.
Right, but what would
no, in that case, there was a simple solution to her fasting. The husband stays at home. That, you know, it's simple. You know, that's here there's no pikuach nefesh. And the doctor she asked, you know, doesn't know anything about Yom Kippur anyhow. Shalti l'rofim shomrei Torah. Rav Moshe Sternbach says, I asked them from doctors. I don't think it would be dangerous for her to fast. It would be difficult for her, but not dangerous. Unless she feels absolutely terrible, and then she's worried about the fetus, you know, then she can eat pachot mikshir, but otherwise she shouldn't. Right? We can't say that every case is, you know, a case of, you know, pikuach nefesh. There's a certain rav. That's, I think it's a well-known shita of a certain Rav in Yerushalayim. He said, any pregnant woman who's feeling a bit weak can eat on Yom Kippur. Even though the Shulchan Aruch doesn't say like that, he said, no, he thinks nowadays, you know, there is a danger of miscarriage. Rav Moshe Schoenbach says, I don't think that's right. Combine Chazal with current, you know, medical advice. Nobody says it's dangerous. Unless there's a reason that she shouldn't fast. An interesting lashon he's got here. Lahachmir shelolatzum. Okay? She'd be machmir not to fast. Machmir on pikuach nefesh, but there needs to be a reason for pikuach nefesh. He goes on to say, you know, there's somebody came before Reb Velvula, the Brisker Rav. So the Brisker Rav, like his father Reb Chaim, that's very famous for, you know, being makel about people fasting on Yom Kippur. Any type, you know, I wouldn't say any type of illness, but was much more broad-minded than other poskim about letting people eat on Yom Kippur. Somebody challenged him. Why was he so makel? He said, I'm not makel. I'm machmir on pikuach nefesh. But he says that, you know, somebody came, a woman came to the Grizz and said, you know, I want to not fast on Yom Kippur because I'm pregnant. And he could see that there was nothing wrong. They just wanted a heter, and they knew that he was makel on ill people not fasting on Yom Kippur. He said, yeah, I'm makel. Well, there's a reason to be makel. There's no reason whatsoever. This is the point that, you know, without any indication of a concern of pikuach nefesh, either to the mother or to the vlad, then woman has to, nursing and pregnant women have to fast on Yom Kippur. Now, let's move on. If you turn to the back page, we've got a Torah and a Beit Yosef. Very important. So look in the Torah, the last bit of the Torah. Yoledek toch shloshay amim lotitanat klal. Right? So a yoledet. A yoledet is a woman who's just given birth. If she's within 3 days of giving birth, lotitanat klal. She doesn't have to fast. Not she doesn't have to fast. She shouldn't fast whatsoever. Mishloshad shiva, from the third day, or from after 3 days till the end of 7 days, imamrat shricha ani, she says she needs to eat, not in akumola chole, then we let her eat, like a chole sheish bo sakana. Mikan ve'elach, hi kishar kol adam. After 7 days, then absent any other concerns, then she fasts like anybody. Okay, so we've got basically 3 stages. The first 3 days, mustn't fast. The next 4 days, she doesn't need to fast if she feels that it would be bad for her. And after that, under normal conditions, she should fast. Look in the Beit Yosef, important machloket here. So where does this come from? This isn't in the Gemara, but Ken Katzu HaRosh V'Aran. Beferek Parak Tradiyom HaBashim HaRamban. The Katav HaRosh Shebashiltot Rav Achai. So in the Shiltot of Rav Achai Gaon, Katuv, right, that a woman who's given birth shouldn't fast for the first 30 days. Right? The Shekol HaMichabrim Chalku Alav Umistav Rakavatayu. Everybody disagrees with him because it doesn't say anything in the Gemara anywhere. The Gemara doesn't tell us this. It's a machloket in the Rishonim. The Rishonim, Maskan of the Rishonim seems to be, after 7 days she has to fast, as against what Rav Achai Gaon said. So we don't pass him like Rav Achai. Now, important machloket again. The katuv b'trumat hadeshen niru detoch shlosha lo chashiv lehuma eight late. How do you calculate the 3 days? Right? Let's imagine Yom Kippur is on a Wednesday. Woman gives birth Sunday lunchtime. Right? So Monday lunchtime is 24 hours. Tuesday lunchtime is 48 hours. Wednesday lunchtime is 72 hours. So does that mean to say that she can eat until Wednesday lunchtime, may late, that's 72 hours. So she gave birth at 1 o'clock, that's on Sunday lunchtime. She can have a lunch at 12 o'clock on Wednesday lunchtime. She can't have it at 1 o'clock, she can have it at 12 o'clock. Or do we say that, no, Sunday is the first day, Monday is the second day, Tuesday is the third day, and when Yom Kippur comes in, that's on Tuesday evening, that's already the third day. So in actual fact, she can only eat for 60 hours rather than 72 hours. So according to Trumat HaDeshen, Lo Chashiv Lu Meit Leit, we're not interested in 72 hours. We're interested in that by the fourth day, she can't eat. The fourth halachic day, she can't eat. She gave birth late in the day on the 7th of Tishrei. We don't say that on Yom Kippur she can eat at midday, because it's still within 72 hours. But we look at the halachic day. And as soon as the fourth halachic day begins, then it's after 3 days. Even though there is a day of the Bahag brought by the Rosh, that's the actual fact we count 72 hours. So Tosfot in Gittin holds that no, it's not Meit Leit. So essentially we've got a machloket here in the Rishonim. That's as to how we count those 3 days. And this is very, very practical. A woman gives birth. Yeah, this year Yom Kippur is on a Wednesday. So a woman gives birth on the Sunday afternoon. Right, there's a big nafkamina there. You know, Sunday afternoon, let's say she gives birth, you know, Shkia on Erev Yom Kippur is 6:15. So she gives birth at 6 p.m. Right? The baby's all washed off and everything by 6 p.m. on Sunday. Right? So according to the Trumat HaDeshen, she can eat the rest of Sunday, Monday and Tuesday, so for 48 hours. Come Tuesday night, Yom Kippur comes in, she can't eat. That's unless she really needs to. Whereas according to the Bahag, no, she can eat till, you know, late in the afternoon, on till the beginning of Ne'ilah on Yom Kippur. Big difference in time, you know, almost 24 hours difference. So how do we paskin? Let's look at the Shulchan Aruch. We'll find it's a machloket in the Achronim. Sif Hay. So back to page 3, Sif Hay. That's Yoledet Tochim Ul Yamim Lotit HaNaklal. So within the first 3 days, she shouldn't fast at all. Look at the Mishnah Berurah Sif Katan Yud. Even if she says, no, I'm fine. You know, this is my 10th kid. I've fasted years on Yom Kippur. Take no notice of her. We feed her and we tell her she has to eat. In that case, you should give her less than kashir, right, at a time. Because she says she's fine. She says she feels fine. So, okay, she has to eat, but maybe she is fine, so give her pachot mikshir. Av ablo amrein itzricha machinu nota kedarka. But if she doesn't say that I'm fine, then she doesn't even have to worry about shiurim. Vein sarach lechalek b'pachot mikshir. V'yesh machmirin shegam bazeh sarach lachila pachot mikshir. There's a yesh machmirin, that's the Shulchan Aruch Harav, who says to be machmir, but basically we don't pass him like that. We say, you know, the first 3 days, she can eat as normal. I guess the reason is, you know, she needs to build up, you know, she's lost so much liquid and blood and calories and everything, giving birth and nursing and everything. So, you know, if you were to spread it out, it's true that she doesn't necessarily need to eat, you know, a whole bowl of cornflakes now, you know, at 7 o'clock in the morning and have it finished by 7:15, and she could spread it out, but she's got to build up her calories in quite a significant way. She's kolash yeish bosakana without any doubt, and, you know, don't spread it out over the course of the day. Fine. Back in the Mechaber. Megimul ad Zayin, right, from 3 days to 7 days. Imam ratzricha ani, machilin ota. So if she says that she needs to eat, then machilin ota, then we give her to eat. Right? So the Mishnah Berurah, we won't look at the Mishnah Berurah inside, but what he says is, what case is it where she says I need to eat? It's where the doctors or the midwife or whatever says, oh, no, you're fine, you can fast. And she says That's, no, I can't fast. All right, so we listen to her. All right, she says, I need to fast. The midwife doesn't know how terrible I feel. All right? But in that case, Mishnah Berurah says that you have to give a pachot pachot mikshir. Right? Because, you know, it's past 3 days. And, you know, she does it in shiurim, she'll be fine. Spread it out, fine. It'll take half the day to eat a sandwich, but who cares? Well, it won't take half a day to eat a sandwich, but it'll take half a day to eat a, you know, a three-course meal. Fine. That's, what if nobody said she's fine, right? And everybody, you know, she doesn't know. That, you know, husband comes in and says, do you think you can fast tomorrow? And she says, I'm not sure. And the midwife hasn't said she can fast. Nobody else has said she can fast. In that case, then also, that's she doesn't even need to say Shricha Ani. She only needs to say Shricha Ani if somebody else has said to the contrary. If nobody else has said to the contrary, she doesn't need to say Shricha Ani. She can say, I don't know. Right. Mikan Va'elach, after 7 days, Harehi Kechol Adam. She's like anybody else. Though, as the Mishnah Berurah points out, in Sifkat An Yud Bet, provided that she's not, you know, really ill. If she's really ill, then she's got the din of Chol HaSheish Bo Sakana, and then you the normal dinim, you know. Does she eat in Shiurim? Does she eat in Pachot Mik Shiurim? The regular questions. But we don't assume in any sense, as a starting point, that she doesn't need to fast. Now, here's the Machloket, the question of the Machloket between the Trumat HaDeshen and the Bahag. V'yamim Eilu, Ein Monin Otam Meit Leit, Kagon Im Yadav Shiva Batishri Ba Erevim Machinin Sabi Yamakipurim Im Lo Amra Sri Khane Alpha Pisha Lo Shalmuna Gimuliami Mad Yom Kippur Ba Erev Mishum de Kevan Shaniklash Yom Revil Leitata Mikre La Chashlosha. So the Chaber Paskins, like the Trumat HaDeshen, that we don't count it may eat late. Mechaber says that we're looking at halachic days. So he's being very strict. Mechaber is being strict. So she gives birth 6 p.m. on Sunday afternoon. That's when Yom Kippur comes in. Unless she says Shricha Ani, she can't eat. Now, Lemaisa, it might not make such a big difference because, fine, you know, that if she says, as long as she says Shricha Ani, so then she can eat. That's the only question would be is that, you know, she said, I don't know if I need to eat. And the midwife says, you're fine. That's which I don't think the midwife would say. But if the midwife said, you're fine, and she said, I don't know, so then we wouldn't let her eat. That's but once if she's worried about, say, you know, that's, I only gave birth 48 hours ago. What are you telling me the Shulchan Aruch says, you know, I should fast? I don't think I'm up to fasting. So that's fine. But she's not fasting under a different din. She's not fasting under the din of that being from 4th to 7th day, rather than it being from in the first 3 days. Nafkamina will be whether she really needs to do it in Shiurim. So according to the Mechaber, she would need to eat in Shiurim, because there it's after the 3rd day. Right? Whereas according to the Bahag, she wouldn't need to eat it in Shiurim.
Wouldn't there also be Nafkamina if it was a week before Yom Kippur and she... I was on that boundary.
Yes, you're right. 100%. Yeah. That's right. According to that's right. According to the Trumat HaDeshen, even if she says Shricha Ani, it won't help her.
Yeah.
That's whereas according to the Bahag, it would help her. Yeah, 100%. 100%.
We don't see every woman or person that we matter to eat in Yom Kippur, it's only Shiurim.
Are you saying we do say that or we don't?
Yeah, we do say it.
It depends, you know, it depends. If they can...
In case there is a reason, why not? But if there is no...
Our
reason,
starting point is that it should only be Bashurim.
So why...
Okay, because in the first 3 days...
Yeah.
Right, because there, it's Shiurim isn't enough. Right? In terms of, when you think about it, you know, the first 3 days, that will include the day, you know, the day she's given birth, right? So she gives birth on Erev Yom Kippur. Right, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Right, if we can say she's got a new baby to nurse, she's lost blood, that's she's been through, you know, a 12-hour labour. Right, you know, she can't just say Shiurim isn't enough. You know, Shiurim, let's say it's, you know, 40 cc every 9 minutes. You know, it's not going to be crazy. She's not going to get enough fluid in her. She needs to get a couple of litres in her, you know, not in one go, but, you know, maybe within 2 hours or something, you know. So it's not enough. Now, look at the Mishnah Berurah, Sif Katan Yud Gimel. Amon in Otam Eight Late. So there's the Mechaber Paskin like the Trumat Adeshen. Ein Le'el Simin Shin Lam, and Mishnah Berurah, Sif Katan Yud. The Kama Paskin Sovrim. The Yamim Eilu B'mei Eitz Le'eitz Shiyaru Otam. The actual fact is a machlok at Rishonim. He's referring us to Simon Shin Lamed. We'll learn this next term. Okay, Dine Refuah on Shabbat. Right? In terms of, you know, the same thing, whether or not a woman can eat on Yom Kippur is the same whether you can be Mechalel Shabbat for her. In terms of, during the first 3 days, she's got the din of Chol HaSheish Bo Sakana. When does that period end? So he says, we've seen in Shin Lamed that a number of poskim hold that in actual fact you count 72 hours. The Sheish LaHakel LaMase. And that's how you should paskin. You should paskin not like the Mechaber. You should paskin like the Rosh and the Bahag, that she's got 72 hours. That's what the Shuat Yaakov says. Also, you know, you don't need to worry about paskening like this. You know, it's a very legitimate opinion. Most Achronim, Matei Ephraim, Rav Avadia, Tzitz Eliezer, Rav Shlomo Zalman, most Achronim pasken like this Mishnah Berurah. Interestingly, the Aruch HaShulchan doesn't. The Aruch HaShulchan just says, no, it's the three halachic days. Once you hit the fourth halachic day, she has to fast. That's unless she says Shri Cha'ami. It's just interesting, you know, the Aruch HaShulchan has, you know, a reputation of being more makel than the Mishnah Berurah. On this point, he's being more machmir. Right, now look, you've got a little asterisk there, just on the top line. Sheish Lachan, so we're saying to be makel. Look in the note at the bottom. So I assume this was added by the Chafetz Chaim after the sort of first printing or whatever. Nearly to imha gimel mei late kalin sha'otach adot lachar kisimat yom hakipurim. Right. So let's say a woman gave birth on Motzei Shabbat, an hour after Shabbat went out. Right. So Yom Kippur goes out at 7:10. So she gave birth at 8 o'clock on the Motzei Shabbat, right? So the 72 hours will end at 8 o'clock on Kol Nidre night. Yom Kippur comes in at 6:10. Right? And the 72 hours end at 8 o'clock on Kol Nidre night. That's just when you're getting up to Omnam Kain, right? That's She'en lahatir la'alecho b'sha'ot eilu midin toch gimel. All right, so then you can't say, okay, well, she can sit there during, you know, Kol Nidre eating a sandwich, right? Kevin de Karagila in Choshishin Lurav on Shamueta. You know, an hour here, an hour there, nobody worries about, right? So, I mean, in that case, you know, she should, you know, eat well before the fast. And then, yeah, instead of not fasting for 72 hours, she'll not fast for 70 hours. You know, the extra 2 hours doesn't make a difference at all, right? You know, if it's, you know, the next morning, then of course she can, you know, eat and drink during the night. You know, if it's midnight, I don't know. But, you know, what he's saying is if it's 2 hours, you know, she shouldn't eat during those first two hours of Yom Kippur. If it's 12 hours, she definitely can. And if it's somewhere in between, you know, he doesn't give us a cut-off point. Also, look in the Shar HaTzion Sivkat An Yud Tet. Okay, so the Mishnah Berurah said to be Mekel like the Bahag. And we call Makom Nirez Yishlachina Pachot Pachot Mikshir. Right. So in that last, you know, that difference between the bringing up, making up to the 72 hours, that yes, she can eat even if she doesn't say Tricha Ani. That, you know, we insist that she should eat. Nevertheless, she should eat Pachot Pachot Mikshir. Again, because, you know, it should be fine. You know, it's now, you know, more than 48 hours after she's given birth. You know, all things being normal, right? You know, if it's not normal, so, you know, if there's extenuating circumstances, then, you know, then it'll be different. But all things being normal, you know, 48 hours after giving birth, so, yeah, she should be, she should be all right eating and drinking in Shiurim. That's, if it's difficult for her, you know, then, you know, they're not. If she wakes up Yom Kippur morning, you know, dehydrated, the baby's, you know, nursed three times during the night, you know, and she's feeling dehydrated already, and she's worried about her milk supply, then, okay, maybe she shouldn't, you know, not in shiurim. But, you know, otherwise, you know, no reason she shouldn't eat the shiurim. So those are klalim that, you know, with regard to this this matter. And as I say, you know, it's something which comes up, you know, every year and, you know, does need to be, you know, you do need to have a, you know, real sense of what the sugyas are here.